The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza in your local grocer's freezer. Turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza. Real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, Michael Wilbon, every Wednesday, 5 o'clock, is brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Saw the guys from Hawk yesterday, Joe Crane, and they golfed well, and they are men of integrity.
Yes, they are.
They would never cheat.
Don't challenge my crew.
Yes, it's a good point.
That's right.
Let's bring in Wilbon right now. You wanted the winning record and the bad quarterback, mister. Well, now you got it. You happy?
I wouldn't be happy with a good quarterback and a losing record.
Oh, I would.
I want both. I'm just not easy like you guys are.
Oh, we're sports easy. We're sports. We're sports floozies. We are sports floozies. Guilty. All you got to do is buy me a cold beer, and I'm in.
And a quarterback. Yeah.
And a quarterback. Yeah. I started looking up. I mean, Matthew. It's like talking to you two when I'm talking to Matthew. I'm not sure that's a good thing for you. He's like, Dad, when Justin Fields was drafted, it was like his life, he thought he was going to ascend to heaven. And I said, Matthew, you got it. And so now he's getting testy. And I said, look, dude, let's look at what Troy Aikman's record was his first 20 starts. Let's look at what Peyton Manning's record was his first 15, 20 starts. I said, and I'm not saying to you that we're not all a little anxious. I'm saying this has not happened overnight, and we're fully into a generation of overnight people. When that wasn't the case at the beginning of those two and their careers, even though Troy is, what, almost 10 years older than Peyton. I mean, Troy started in 1988, and I think Peyton was 10 years later.
Yes.
And so, but Troy Aikman was 1-15, I think. He was certainly 1-13 or something like that. And so last I checked, he had 3 championships, he's in the Hall of Fame. And I was trying to explain this to Matthew, and it's like, it's typical. It's like talking to somebody from a different planet, because people now don't care about what happened in 1988. They're not even sure they can identify 1988. And so, I'm different. I'm like, it may take him, first of all, I believe in this coach's intentions and agenda, where I didn't believe in the last one. So I don't even know anything much about Eberflus, but I know that he's trying to do the right thing by this quarterback. And that is going to help in the long run, and I hopefully the short run.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we've had this conversation. Look, I mean, Jalen Hurts is playing really good football right now. And last I saw him in the postseason last year in Tampa, he was awful.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Allen took a couple of years, and now Josh Allen is arguably the best quarterback in the league. But as Sylvie said, and we've had this conversation, there are infinitely more Josh Rosens than Josh Allens, which means by that,
there's no guarantee.
Right.
There's no guarantee. I'm just not ready to judge it yet.
Right.
And it's going to take a while before I judge it, because I've seen too many late bloomers in my life. You know, even going to another sport where people don't expect there to be late bloomers anymore, basketball, realize like 9 of the 12 dream teamers were late bloomers? Like, Michael, cut by his high school coach. I mean, you know, there's like the only three guys who were not. David Robinson was a plebe. He was like 6'6". You know, the only guys who weren't late bloomers in the Dream Team were like Patrick Ewing, Magic Johnson. Larry Bird was working on a garbage truck, people. And I think the other, and Chris Mullin. There were like three or four guys who Clyde Drexler was a tennis player. And so we don't want to do this anymore. We think that everybody has to come right out of AAU and go straight to the Hall of Fame. And let's just pipe down. But I tell you what, can people appreciate Roquan Smith for a minute and a half? Can they do that? Can they appreciate, I mean, we kept the right, not the right, but we kept the Khalil. And that, listen, the he right might Khalil. Be every bit as right good Khalil. In a different way as Montgomery. He might be.
Yeah.
The two of them together are, that is vintage Chicago Bear running back. We know something about that. We don't know a damn thing about what quarterbacks ought to look like. But we know what running backs ought to look like. And those two dudes are really good. Really good.
They had a great game, both of them, and you're right. The only thing that I would say, Wilbon, is I've seen you in this studio with an early May Cubs game when they're coming off a World Series and you're getting pissed over them not hitting the baseball. So, like while we're not making a rash determination, aren't we always judging? Aren't we always evaluating?
Sylvie, you just used a wonderful analogy. I'm glad you used it. Coming off a World Series, I expect a hell of a lot more than coming out of Matt Nagy. Yes, there are times when you can and should expect, and there are times when you shouldn't. The Bears were ranked 32nd out of 32 NFL teams 2 weeks ago. So I don't have that level of expectations like I wanted the Cubs who were wearing rings to hit the damn baseball in 2017. You are 1,000% accurate about that. Yes, I had expectations of the 2016 Blackhawks coming off their last of three championships. I had expectations of Tom Waddle's 87 Bears coming off, you know, 2 years removed from a world championship and a 14-2 season in 86. Yes, there are times to have expectations, and there are times not to.
Yeah, this ain't one of them. But I know, like, but the Cubs also showed you that they could do it. So you knew they could do it, but you were still getting mad.
Right.
We don't know if Justin Fields can do it. All I'm saying is,
so I'm not going to get mad. Plays,
well, I'm not getting mad. I'm getting worried. I'm getting concerned.
It doesn't
look good to me. This looks like horribly bad.
Yet.
Like historically, some of these games to me, I covered Jonathan Quinn. I covered Rick Meyer when he was traded from Seattle. I covered Cade McNown in person.
You ain't going far enough back, which I can do.
Right.
And like, I've seen the Bears look worse. Trust me.
Well, I'm
older than you and Tom.
Rudy Bukic, right?
Listen. Walter Payton had the started quarterback 1 week because the Bear quarterbacks were so bad. I was there for that. So I'm not where you guys are. And you know I'm not the most patient man in the world, but my patience is longer than yours because I'm not as young as you two whippersnappers.
I know, but, like, we could all out-bat each other. But, like, when they traded for Meyer, Meyer was the rookie of the year, the rookie of the year runner-up in Seattle. And then he comes and he's skipping passes in his first game or two in Dallas.
I choose to forget that.
I'm sitting in the press box, Wilbon, in Dallas when I'm covering him. I'm going, oh, boy, this guy sucks. And I'm like, and it was only game one or two, but at least I trusted my eyes.
He had 2 years to show you something. Fields had basically a year that was lost because he had a coach who was too arrogant to coach him.
And he never looked this bad last year. Never looked this bad last year.
Okay, good. That means he's starting over. That's probably a good sign. Start over. Then give me a blank canvas from Nagy, who was dreadful, who was harmful to his career and everybody else's on the offense.
By the way, I'd prefer to be referred to as a football floozy and not a whippersnapper going forward. I think it's more representative of Sylvia and I.
You guys are whippersnappers compared to the old man telling people to get off his lawn. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, by the way, like we were all giddy, and I'm still giddy, but we were all giddy after week one of the NFL, and everything was so awesome. Boy, the overall play, minus a couple of games, has been crappy the last 2 weeks, hasn't it? I still love it, don't get me wrong.
It's the finishes. It's the finishes, though, right, yeah. Tommy? I mean, yes. The finishes have been great, and that's what we look. People don't have any standards when it comes to the NFL fans.
That's
they just
point.
Want it. They want to go to loses. Buffalo Wings, and they want to bet, and they want a fantasy league, and they want a confidence league. They don't actually know anything. People know less about football. The fans of pro football know less about their game than any fans know about Ooh. Their respective games.
Why do you think that?
I mean, real NHL fans, first of all, it's more complex. I mean, it kills me when everybody's – Orlovsky's a genius when it comes to explaining things about X's and O's, if you care about that. But my – like, if I saw Dan today, I would say, my God, it's amazing what you do. But no one understands it. I mean, zero coverage. And all these guys like to refer to these things in football terms that if you walked out on the street right there on State Street in front of you in the studio, no one would have any idea what they're talking about. They don't. I've done this for 42 years. Can I explain half of it? No, maybe a third. Do I care? No. Do the people watching care? No. No, and it's funny when during they go, we call this the bunch lunch, and we call this so what? What is that going to do to enhance the understanding of the people involved? Nothing. And they don't know. They don't care. They don't know anything about the game.
What's the easiest game? What's the easiest game to know?
They can wave a number one foam finger. They can eat wings.
The hot take police are coming after you, Mike. I can hear the siren in the background.
And they might put me in jail for bad-mouthing the league. And I'm not even bad-mouthing the league. I'm not. Or the people who talk about it. I'm not. They're amazing. What I'm saying is people don't know jack.
And the funny thing is, football. Mike, the access to all of the tape now and the All-22 – everyone is convinced they know more now than ever before, and especially with social media and everything else, everyone's breaking down film now.
And so what are they, for what purpose? So what are they going to do?
Not sure. Not sure.
They don't know, and they don't know anything. They don't know anything. And look, I did that for a little while when I was covering the NFL so that I could say I did it. Will I ever in my life again, having covered pro football for parts of 40 years, will I ever go back and rewind on my television to say to somebody in my house who's watching who's going to know less than me, hey, wait a minute, shut up and look at this. Tommy, I do it 3 times a year. And what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. And so people know less about pro football than any group of fans knows about their respective sport. So they don't know about Justin Fields. I love being able to listen to you because you can also put it in terms that a dumbass like me can understand.
No, and the funny thing is,
read them your list. Read them your list.
The funny thing is, like I watch the film and I have a little bit of a background in it, but I can't tell you with 100-degree certainty what everybody's responsibility is on every play. I can just look at basic concepts and know really what should be occurring. I wrote this down. And again, Sylvia and I come in here every day. And it's always the same disclaimer. It's early. He's played 13 games. We get all of that. It's not an ideal situation. But open is open. Clean pocket is clean pocket. And I wrote down after watching the film again, pocket awareness is bad. Decision making is bad. Fundamentals are breaking down. They're bad. And his accuracy is bad. I didn't say that it's irreparable.
Right.
I may look at the film after the Giants game and go, the pocket awareness, much improved. The decision making, good this week. Fundamentals, improved. Accuracy, as a result of all the other things being better, the accuracy has improved. That may happen. All I can tell you, and I think this is the message that Sylvia and I are unified on, is we know it's early. We know it's not ideal with some of the stuff. Some of the things that you're watching are fundamentally easy to kind of do from that perspective, and they're not getting done.
By the way, half those things you just said, no, not half, all those things that you mentioned that were bad, maybe not pocket awareness, footwork, fundamental. We were talking about that stuff with Jay Cutler after they traded half a squad to get him.
Well, I mean, listen, it's a really tough position to play. There's no question about it. And to play it at a high level consistently is very, very hard. But I guess it's like any sport where when you're missing your layups, you got no chance to be successful. You've got to hit your layups. And then after that, things start to fall in line.
That he missed is one of those plays that makes you cringe. But I just want to go back to something. I mean, I was sitting there in the press box at the time with talent evaluators when Troy Aikman was going 1-13 and could have been accused of all of those things negatively that you just checked off. Troy Aikman. Once again, one more time, number 8 Hall of Fame. So I'm just saying, and that was 15 starts in.
By the way, Mike, he was drafted, I think, just about 285 spots ahead of me in that draft in 1989. Although I wasn't drafted.
Same draft time.
How about that draft? That year, we always talk about it. It was Aikman 1, was 2, it was Marinovich, or not, I don't know, who was the lineman, the offensive lineman?
You're saying Tony Mandarich.
Tony Mandarich.
Right.
The top five, it was Troy Aikman, it was Deion Sanders, it was Barry Sanders, and it was the pass rusher from Kansas City who passed away.
Derek Thomas.
Derek Thomas.
What a
four out of the top five picks in that. That was my class!
No, wow. You weren't a part of the class.
Well, it was my year.
Tell you how that impacted me. I wear seatbelts because of Derek Thomas' death.
Absolutely.
I didn't wear them before that, literally.
He was an unbelievable player.
He was an unbelievable player and a great, good dude. I was covering the league then. That was, whew. But I got the concerns you guys have. I'm not ready to judge. Just like I'm not ready. What are we going to all say about Buffalo when they lose to Cincinnati this week? Don't they play Cincinnati? Or does Cincinnati play Miami?
Who does Buffalo play?
Kansas City?
Buffalo.
No, because it's the Bucks in Kansas City.
Whoever the Buffalo's going to lose this week.
Who do they got, Waddle? Look it up on the schedule.
They're going to lose. And these people are going to go crazy because they're 2-2.
Buffalo's at Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm just not. Look, I've been watching. See, here's the one advantage I have over you whippersnappers. Sorry, Tommy.
Football floozies, thank you.
I made all these same mistakes after I had been watching sports, closely following them, listening to coaches, sitting in rooms. I made some of those mistakes 20 years in. And sometimes a guy like Hubie Brown or Joe Gibbs or Earl Weaver or, just pick your really Dusty Baker. Pick your really wise old dude. Wes Unseld. Like, some dude would sit there and say, how long have you been doing this? And I'd say 15 years. Then why are you drawing these conclusions like this after fill in the blank? And I would say, I don't know. And they would say, well, stop it. Just watch the damn games. Watch them. See what happens. Or Joe Gibbs' favorite thing was, and John Thompson too, just keep playing. Just keep playing, son. Just keep playing. And at first, I would be so annoyed because it sounded so oversimplistic, right? And then that guy would keep playing, and he would get to a Super Bowl after somebody else cut him. And you would just go, you know what? I'm going to listen to these dudes and stop being an idiot. And so you know what? I'm old now, and I'm not an idiot. I'm old, but I'm not going to be an idiot about this. And there are late bloomers, and there are people who need longer, and there are people who sometimes need to be traded. I hope that's not the case with Justin Fields. And this is the way sports works, man. Tommy, there were people that got traded into your locker room, and everybody said, this dude can't play. And then he went out, and he had an all-pro season, or two, or three, or five. And that's the way sports is. And so all these people who want to judge him permanently after 13 games, I'm not with that.
Well, we're not in that group either. We're not judging him
permanently. I know you're not. And we're talking literally as hopeful, wishful thinking, emotional fans. And I cop to that. Yeah. There's some plays that Justin Fields makes. Like when he ran around, he goes left down the sideline. And then on the next play, or maybe another play, he even goes a lot, like a full yard over the line of scrimmage. But he's going to be able to control a couple of those plays shortly, like maybe next week. And if he does, things will begin to click. Does it mean I'm going to judge him then to be Joe Montana? No, it doesn't. But I'm going to watch a little while longer than most people.
All right. It's fair. To getting to Waddle's point about making your layups, are you worried that Lonzo Ball won't make a layup all year?
Yep. Injuries are one of those things that change careers and change teams. I mean, come on. All we got to do is look at Derrick Rose. I mean, that changed the direction. None of these guys would be on the Bulls if Derrick Rose was completely healthy for 9-10 straight years as a Bull. They wouldn't even be on the Bulls. We wouldn't even have Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. We wouldn't have him. Billy Donovan wouldn't be the coach. So, yeah, I'm worried about it. And I'm worried the Bulls are not even a playoff team.
Well, I was going to say, Mike, are there eight better teams in the East without Lonzo?
Probably. Likely. No, not the Wizards, but Cleveland and Atlanta. Indiana's going to get better because I know who's coaching them, and I know that he wanted to change that roster. He's one of those guys who give that latitude.
Will Detroit be better?
Detroit's going to be better, but Detroit's not ready for the playoffs yet. Detroit's going to have a year where they, at times, go out and beat Boston, and they might at home one night beat the Warriors, and then they're going to lose seven straight because that's what happens with young teams. With guys who are in their second and third year. But they got, like, if you ask me right now whose roster I would rather have, theirs or the Bulls, don't make me answer that.
Mm. So I heard you correctly. You wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls don't make the playoffs?
I mean, they might have to go through the play-in. Top six, it's hard to see. Now, if you tell me Lonzo Ball's back by Christmas, or I tell you something else. I will tell you this, and this is where the Bulls have been smart, really smart. The acquisition of Goran Dragic. I mean, Goran Dragic is a professional point guard. All right. So if DeRozan and LaVine are healthy, and the big man that they've added,
Drummond,
who can defend and take some of that stress off of Vooch, who cannot. There's some ifs with the Bulls too. Right? And so I think that the Bulls could actually bounce the other way. Like I said, those are three big ifs. But Goran Dragic, if he's healthy and he's out there, this dude knows how to play the position. And other point guards, great players, respect him for only one reason. He's got, and let me tell you, he's tough. He's physically tough. You know, that's a great acquisition in terms of when you're injured. And look, we don't know what step Io's going to take. Maybe he takes a step up. Maybe those like Jones, like all those guys who were starting and playing games yesterday who were meant to come off the bench. If they have the health they didn't have last season or haven't had since 2011,
that's true.
Then, you know, I'll be walking all this back. But right now, man, like, do I have them finishing ahead of Cleveland? No chance. No. Do I have them finishing ahead of Atlanta without Lonzo Ball? No chance. Lonzo Ball was really important to what they were doing. It doesn't mean he has to be an all-pro. It means that he is vital to what they're doing. He was getting better as a thinker of the game, as an organizer of the floor, and teammates trusted him. He was becoming one of the best unguarded shooter, open shooters in the league. He can defend. You know, he's really good at the hockey assist, which means he can see what's developing, even though it doesn't necessarily materialize in assist numbers. All that's missing, man. It's depressing the hell out of me, as you can tell. But Dragic does a lot of stuff different than Ball, but effectively. So if he and Io command the position and the other guys can stay healthy and the big man Drummond can give you some muscle and knock some people to the floor with his elbows every now and then I'm happy to walk this back.
Good stuff, Michael. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll debate again next week.
Yes.
All right, you guys. All right, just stay calm Sunday. I'll be texting both of you.
There you go. Yes.
A little silent this past Sunday, wasn't it?
No, he reached out. He was not happy with the offensive line.
It was two Sundays. That's right. Sundays ago, I was scared and quiet. Loud. I'm loud again. I'm back.
Okay, good.
He's back, awesome. Even though his Wildcats are not.
Oh,
but that's for a different day.
Wow.
That's
You're going to send him out on that note?
Yeah, take that one. I just gave him a cap.
Damn.
See you, Michael.
Bye, Mike.
All right, you guys.
There's Michael Wilbon.
Wow, that was a cheap shot.
The double dip of that Southern in Miami of Ohio. How about that? Not good over there. All right, coming up next, what does Todd McShay have in common with Eddie on the North Side? We will play it for you coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
All right, join us at Legends in Woodridge. We'll be minus Waddle. He'll be having a great time at Parents Weekend at BC with his youngest daughter, Emerson. But filling in will be Carmen and Yurko, so it's still going to be
frivolity and chaos coming your way.
Just like a normal Waddle and Sylvie show, except with Carmen and Yurko. Three of us will be together. There's talk, too, that we're going to be doing the, bless you, the Crosstalk Unhinged taping there before our show starts. We'll have to turn down the PA.
Ooh, can they handle that kind of nonsense in the building?
That's what I'm wondering. We're going to have to I gave Tyler a warning today. We'll have to turn down the PA, but we'll still record it and send it back to the station. And we'll have a new Unhinged dropping on Friday. So come on out, Legends in Woodridge. We saw one of our great listeners yesterday. Remember the guy who came out to one of our first broadcasts after COVID? It was, I think, our very first one. And it was
that place was packed.
At the wing place. Was this the wing place?
Yes.
We tried the really spicy wings.
Correct.
And then this guy was sitting right next to us. At first, I thought it was Carmen DeFalco's dad.
Right.
And for the first 5 minutes I was talking to him,
right,
I thought it was talking to Lou DeFalco. But it wasn't Lou. It was just a very great fan and listener of the show
who got some hot wings,
and then he had to go to the bathroom right after he ate one of the hot wings. Him and I think his wife came by yesterday at the golf course.
Nice.
They gave me a Bears tie-dye hoodie, and they said, and
that's
they
nice.
Yeah, I think their son makes them. I think it's their son or son-in-law. And anyway, he said to me, he looked at me, Tyler and me, and he goes, when are you guys going to be broadcasting for the Western Burbs? And I go, Friday, Woodridge.
Question asked, question answered.
He's like, right down the street from me. I go, well, come on out Friday. And he said he will. So we should all be like him.
There you go. Can he give me one of those cool pullovers?
Would you wear a tie-dye? Are you a tie-dye guy?
If it's free, it's for me.
Yeah, I like tie-dye. I've always had a soft spot for tie-dye.
It's a Bears tie-dye sweatshirt?
Yeah, it's like orange and blue. What's wrong? What are you laughing at, Mallor? You're like Black and Abdallah used to make fun of me with my tie-dye. And I think
they used to make fun of you for tie-dye?
Or maybe it was you. I think
I didn't make fun of you for tie-dye.
I think you did.
It's just a weird fashion sense to be fully in support of. That's all.
I'm not telling you I'm walking around every day wearing a tie-dye shirt. I enjoy a good tie-dye.
All right.
You know what? I'm in, too. The price is right. I'll take one.
I don't think I've ever worn tie-dye in my life.
Never, really?
In my life.
Ooh, in the 90s when we went to camp.
I never wore tie-dye either. But I'm willing to try.
Yeah. All right. Let's play this.
Mellor's in there. He's a fashion snob.
Send some tie-dyes to Mellor.
Yeah. Guy's putting little wiener things on my car, and all of a sudden, he's a fashion king.
Highbrow.
Yeah. I mean, he's taking off the tire caps, my air caps, and putting wieners on it.
He's not a tie-dye guy, but he's a wiener-mobile guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a classy guy here on the station, right? Go out there, and I got dongs written all over the back of my car.
High fashion.
So what am I about to play? This is from Ryan Russillo's podcast, right?
Correct.
Boy, we have not talked to Russillo in forever.
He won't take our calls.
I think because we waited too long between appearances, he felt like we snubbed him, I think.
Well, that's erroneous. Yeah. That's not accurate.
Well, the good news is Russillo's never been known to hold a grudge.
Well played.
I love talking hoops with Russillo. We got to get Ryan back on the show. So this is from his podcast, and he was talking to Todd McShay. And wouldn't you know, the Northside Eddie conversation came up that no quarterbacks from Ohio State can ever make it. And I think this was going into the Justin Fields topic. So the question was asked, Ohio State, does it make it more difficult on which quarterbacks they should be that should be drafted when they get to the NFL?
Sometimes I wonder if they set it up where it's so easy for the quarterback
that the NFL becomes more of a challenge for an Ohio State quarterback, because I feel like guys run wide open with what Ryan Day and all those guys do in Columbus. And on top of that, how much more talent Ohio State has in comparison to the rest of their schedule than, say, even an Alabama does against other teams in the SEC West.
I totally agree. There are multiple layers to this onion that you have to peel back. I think
there's a lot all, there. I threw a lot at you.
I know, but I think it's worth it real quickly. Like, I think, first of all, we have a perception of like Braxton Miller and some of the other quarterbacks. You know, they were more athletic guys that didn't work in the NFL because their skill set didn't work in the NFL.
Braxton wasn't an NFL quarterback. You're right.
He was a receiver, but there have been quarterbacks that come out that just, you know, they didn't have the skill set. And remember, Ryan Day hasn't been in Ohio State forever, right?
Right.
So, but recently with Ryan Day there as coordinator and head coach, I do think they do as good a job as any team. You know, I'm not saying better, but there are some teams on the level, but they're as good as any team in college football at getting their receivers open and making the reads kind of easier for their quarterbacks. And I think with Justin Fields, we all said it pre-draft. Not ever. I know I said it, and I know a lot of scouts I talked to said the same thing. He gets stuck on his primary. And I think a lot of their offense was predicated on, you know, make this read, and if the cornerback, you know, winds up sitting, then you're gonna go to the high. If the corner, you know, is dropping back in 3-deep zone or whatever it is, then you're gonna take the underneath. Like, make it a one read, and then if not, take off running, or then we try to get to the second read. But it was a lot of one read and getting stuck with Justin Fields. And we've seen that become a problem. It has been a problem in the NFL, but he's still adjusting to that. I don't see that with Stroud, though. And with Ryan Day, and I haven't asked him to talk to him about it specifically yet, and I'm sure I will leading up to the draft, but it seems like they go through more progressions. Like, I watch his eyes. I watch his helmet from the, you know, watch the all 22. You can see what the receivers are doing. Then you watch the end zone copy, the tight copy. And you can see his eyes going from right to middle to left. And he does it as fast as anyone in college football, probably outside of Bryce Young, in terms of how quickly he diagnoses what they're throwing at him and gets to the next read. So, yes, I understand the history, but I think this guy's different is probably the short version to the answer I want to give you.
So they talk
just talking about C.J. Stroud.
Right, there. Because a lot of people are like, look, let's say the Bears do say that Justin Fields isn't the guy. And then they're trying to draft the next one. I think it would be stupid to eliminate C.J. Stroud because he simply plays football at Ohio State.
Yes, I agree with you.
Well, especially though, based on what you just heard there.
Right.
McShay's praising Stroud, but in the same context, for Bears fans, that's scary to hear about Justin Fields. Stroud versus Fields.
Right, we've always heard that though about Fields, right?
Yeah.
One read, and he's got to be taught.
The process, you know, the processing was going to be an adjustment for him. Look, I mean, in some ways, when you're running post dig combos, okay, with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson Jr., or I think that's his name, right? Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, and the Jets, yes.
Against the Hoosiers, it's different. Okay, when you come in and you try to run things at the NFL level against even a lower NFL defense, it's different than what he was seeing in the Big Ten with all the talent as Huddle. Doesn't mean he can't have success here. It just means that the acclimation process, getting used to things, and the development and the growth, you know, it may take a little bit of time. It's different. It's a different speed. He definitely doesn't have Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson in his huddle right now. He's definitely not playing against the Hoosier secondary. Like, it's a step up in class, and it may take some time. That's all.
Tom in Schaumburg, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tommy. Tom. I think that's going to be
it. It says here, overlooking Bears defense. Was that what he was saying? We're not giving the Bears defense enough love?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've been outstanding.
No.
They've done. They've taken the ball away.
That's exactly. That's the difference. That's why they've got two wins. They took it away twice from the San Francisco 49ers in a monsoon, and they took it away. Remember when they took it away?
At the end of this game.
Well, not just that, which was perfect because they took it away. The Texans were at their own 27. If that interception takes place beyond the 50 in Bears territory, there's no guarantee
right.
that they win that game. because the Bears offense had not shown you to you that they were going to do much.
And even in the San Francisco game, the timing of the turnovers were perfect. Like Deebo Samuel, absolutely, they were getting close to scoring on that drive when he fumbled or like when they could have gone up big.
The first interception here by Eddie Jackson, the ball was snapped on the 7-yard line. It was a red zone interception. The Houston Texans were going in at the very least to kick a field goal, if not score a touchdown. So not only did they take the ball away, they took the ball away in the red zone once and at the opponent's 27-yard line.
Yeah.
Which advantageous, not just to take the ball away, but where you took the ball away had a huge impact.
Right, and those are big keys, so we will give them credit
absolutely
for that. 312-332-3776. We have some baseball to discuss. We've got Sox baseball coming up here at 6 o'clock. Do you care about what could happen tonight? Let's discuss that when we come back. You know how much I love pizza, and as a city full of frozen pizza fans, Chicago knows that we can count on Connie's to deliver authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. Connie's means quality because their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust, waddle, you love that, or their new crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust, Connie's frozen is covered with restaurant quality pies you can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Yeah, we got Sox baseball coming up. And don't forget on Friday, again, Legends in Woodridge, thanks to Miller Lite. So come out and see the show. I'll be with Carmen and Yurko. It's a Friday 2 to 6, Legends in Woodridge.
Hey, do you know when we do talk about White Sox baseball, it's actually brought to you? And when we talk to our good friend Connor McKnight, it's brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
On Monday, did you guys talk about how much the play-by-play announcer on CBS
did a little bit
sounded like
I was 100% with you. I almost sent that text out right before you did.
Yeah. A listener gave me the heads up. I'm like, yeah, my gosh, he does sound exactly.
I thought he did too.
Do you have a highlight that you can play, Mellor?
Let me grab one, but that is Andrew Catalan, who will be joining Dion Miller and me on Saturday.
Oh, really?
I'm in for Peggy, and I'm texting with Dion right now. So I think Andrew Catalan is going to be joining
you
us.
Should play Andrew Catalan or Connor McKnight. Yes.
Excellent.
I thought they sounded very, very similar. By the way, the White Sox, I mean, is there any other way to say it other than that
horrible
they quit? That they quit?
Yeah.
I mean, have they quit?
Quit is generous.
Last night they had 13 strikeouts and 2 hits.
Yeah. It's done.
Shut out 4-0.
I mean, it was done after that first Cleveland loss, but to just go out with the way they've gone, at 10 out, a couple games under 500, I guess it's better for Sox fans this way because, like, I always like to say,
rip the Band-Aid off?
Or like sometimes the front office and ownership needs a real big smack in the face in order for them to realize what has happened. Like, if they're close, they're like, well, you know what, with all the injuries and all that, you know, we almost got there. But this is a good way to show them what they've got.
Did I see that if, in fact, they finish below 500 this year, it'll be like 10 out of the last 13 years or something like that, or 8 out of the last 11, something in that neighborhood?
It's crazy. I mean, 2020 was their comeback year. They won one playoff game against Oakland, and last year they won one playoff game.
But outside of that, I think that they've been under 500 for the majority of the last decade,
sure,
haven't they?
Sure. I want to say, like, remember, I just brought you all those numbers. I think they went from, correct me if I'm wrong, Mellor, was it from 2008 all the way to 2020 without a playoff appearance? They went
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, because I think
they lost to Tampa, correct, after winning the wild card in 08.
Yep.
And then I think it took all the way to 2020 to make the postseason.
Yep.
And now this was supposed to be the start of something big, and it completely fizzled, and now they've got a ton of work to do. So,
I'm going 2000, like from 2019, I'm now back to 2013. Every year they've been under 500.
It's
2012, they were over 500. So between 2012 and 2020, every year in between, they were they were under 500.
You watching for Judge tonight? By the way, heads up for all DraftKings customers, because we're all DraftKings player. They've got a boost tonight, and I think the game's about to start, so get on it quick. Ooh. And make sure you opt in. They have Aaron Judge to get a hit. Not a home run, to get a hit, boosted to plus 100. And I think it's originally like minus two
Wasn't
something.
He walked four times last
he
night?
He was.
I'm not on Aaron Judge watch. I'm not boycotting it. I haven't sought it out.
What the hell else is there to watch? I mean, we could watch Cubs Phillies, but again,
I'm ashamed to tell you, I watched the first three innings of the White Sox game last night.
I'm not watching another inning. I am done with White Sox baseball.
Boycotting?
I watched like 140 games. I'm done with them. Like, they're done with everybody else. So why wouldn't we be done with them?
Eloy Jimenez, second and third. He cracks one into right. That's down for a hit. Andrews will walk home. Moncada behind him. Eloy Jimenez drives in two with a single to right. It's 9-2.
Ebner, the running back, on second and 11. Felix fires over the middle, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Petrie, who lost the football but picks it back up. Mills throws.
I think it's very similar.
I don't think that was the best of examples.
Right, because the cadence was a little off.
But I'm with you. I'm just going to make the play with you. I'm going to go with you right now.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You know, make things.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the free $5 bet I got credited back to me by the great people at DraftKings because of the David Montgomery injury, and I'm going to bet it on this one.
Tomorrow we have to craft our same-game parlay, by the way, for this weekend on DraftKings. All right, so Sox coming up next. Thank you today to Kyle Schwarber for surprising us. Also to Michael Wilbon and Dion Miller. Great work today by Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.